top headlines.
So if any breaking news happens over your phone there, feel free to jump right in the middle of the update here. Don't worry about interrupting. We welcome it. Celtics with a Game 2 win last night over the Milwaukee Bucks at the TD Garden. Earlier, Coach Brad Stevens phoned into Zolak and Bertrand. Among the topics, he talked about Shane Larkin, talked about him after the game last night, too. Had this to say, Coach.
He was very good. He's been great defensively two straight games now. And then offensively, I thought he found his rhythm. He attacked, beat people off the dribble on a number of occasions, made plays for himself and others, and, played really aggressively.
120 to 106, that's your final from the Garden last night. Game 3 is going to happen Friday night in Milwaukee, 9:30 tip-off Boston time. Speaking of start times, we finally got one for Game 5.
What do we got?
The Bruins Maple Leaf
Daytime
Series.
Daytime matinee?
Saturday night, 8 p.m.
Oh, that crowd's going to be sauced.
That is going to be Game 5.
Is that game?
TD Garden, Saturday night, 8 p.m.
I got to go to that game.
We got to go to that game.
You're
the guy with all the sweets.
Want to go to the game?
Oh, yeah, Mr. High Roller, Mr. Runaround.
You got tickets for us, Artie? Hold on. Let me check my source. Like Zoe, I find out stuff during the show a lot of times.
Is that other parking garage going to be open by then?
No, that's closed for good.
The Bruins,
leave at 3 p.m. to get there for an 8 p.m.
Before Game 5, Bruins got to play Game 4 tomorrow night in Toronto. They lead the best of 7, 2-1. The Red Sox are in the middle of a 3-game set with the Angels in Anaheim after the 10-1 win last night. Rick Porcello to the mound tonight in Game 2. Headlines are brought to you by Dr. Leonard Strauss, DMD. Change your smile and your life in just one day. Schedule your free smile consultation now at StraussOneDaySmile.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
The road to another Boston championship goes through 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He scores! That's a hat trick!
Hear every Bruins and Celtics playoff game
four,
here.
4-3. Got it.
On Boston's home for sports. Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Way back.
We had a life, we had a love.
Is this Jim 84, 85?
But you don't know what you
right there?
Till you lose.
I feel like this could be Bill in Foxborough sending this one out to Tom and Wellesley, or wherever he is.
How many times can I say I'm sorry? How many times? Yes, I'm sorry.
Wow, highly underrated.
Okay, I got a couple follow-ups.
What do you have?
That report that Hardy read from Florio?
Yes.
Said between OTAs and the start of camp. Does that indicate that he's not going to any of the OTAs?
No, it doesn't indicate that at all.
Okay, no. Are you sure? It sounds like that to me.
Well, here's what happened.
Reading into the report?
I'm reading into it a little
bit. Here's what happened.
I mean, that's a reach. It doesn't say that, but
what's the number?
We've had reports in recent days, Jeff Darlington saying he's not going to OTAs.
What's the days on OTAs? It's like the total of 36 workouts, right? And if Gronkowski misses 3 or 4 of those workouts, he doesn't get his $250,000 bonus.
He can miss 3.
Okay.
If he misses 4.
So he can miss 3.
Yeah.
So whatever that last day of workout is, all Brady's doing here is telling you, when we're cleared to go, it's not summertime for you. It's go time for you. You know, Devin McCourty did what with Daron Harmon and company when Darrell Revis was here? At the end of camp, at the end of OTAs, they went out to boot camp out in Arizona to train. How'd that do for him? Paid off. This is the spot where they're going to tell us to go away, and a lot of guys go away for summer to do whatever they need to do before camp starts. Because after that, like the guy that just died. What's his name? Ermy.
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 Yeah.
own your ass. You know, when camp starts, they own your ass. So come with me. Make plans. Here's the time. I'm going to be at place X. Make sure you're there. Because we got to be right when we come back. That's all. There's nothing wrong with... I mean, it's... Shoot, that's only 2.5, 3 months ahead. Wow. May, June, July. Camp starts in 4 months from next week. Coming quick. End of July. Comes quick. So this is probably right after the 4th of July holiday. He wants whoever he wants with him. And I think it's 11 and 87. I think 87 is aligned with him now in a lot of things that he does.
Well, that was part of my second part of this follow-up.
Yeah, what do you got?
Now that you're telling us that Gronk is going to go do this.
I love breaking news!
And Zoe's been breaking news here that Gronk is going to go to Montana this year.
We need to break news every day! No, we don't. We don't do that here.
Does that...
Talk show host. Midday talk show.
Does that confirm that everything is okay with Gronk and it's simply about money? Does that one... Here's really the big question. Does that one little report from Florio minutes ago confirm everything we've heard in recent days? Brady's not going to OTAs. Gronk's not going to OTAs. Gronk's is about money. Brady's just pissed off in general. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Like I said, this offseason's different. And Brady's going to prove it to you that this offseason is going to be different. Said that at the end of Tom, that's even the owner doubles down on that. Well, you know, he's thinking about things. You think about these, you have different thoughts. The owner at the owner's meetings referred to Tom versus time. He didn't refer to, I just talked to the quarterback, or, you know, Bill, myself, and the quarterback came out of a meeting, and this is how we feel. No, he deferred to a documentary he had to watch, as opposed to a conversation I had with the guy. He's already been to Cutter. He's already done some other things. He's going to throw when he wants to throw with number 11. And we saw stuff from Gronkowski. He's up at TB12 last weekend for 3 days. Busting his ass. Clients taking pictures. Julian Edelman last week. Getting rubbed out. You know, TB12. TB12. Mr. Miyagi here. All three on Instagram. It's those three, man. Offense goes through those three. That's what it is. Either they're going to have to like it and deal with it, or they make moves and get different players. I think that's where really they're at the point of the quarterback. Quarterback's going to do things his way now in the offseason. And he'll be there when he's required to be there.
Hardy, when breaking news breaks, you don't even know. We just broke it. When breaking news breaks, we'll do our best to bury it in conversation.
Claim that we knew about it, but we don't like to break news. We're just here to talk about.
That's like
breaking news.
Yeah,
I'm breaking news. That's like the Globe. When someone beats the Globe to a story, they just can't admit that like someone else had broken the story. So they wrote another Globe and previously known.
Not news. It's not even news.
Previously known.
Oh, what if they trade Gronk on draft day?
What?
There's stuff that could happen.
Huh?
I'm just saying, things don't always hold up. So, I mean, unless you 100% unequivocally know. That's the plan, though.
6-1. Okay. Now I need to go to my Twitter machine. Give me a moment here, Sal.
Whatever.
I got to go to my Twitter machine. Okay, here we go. Mike Giardi had a tweet, deleted the tweet, now put a tweet back up. A pair of Tom Brady's teammates tell me they've spoken to the quarterback this offseason, including discussions about the upcoming season, and he's never indicated he wasn't playing or retiring. Also, Brady continued his normal workout regimen and diet to this point, even while in Qatar. His teammates are under the impression that he's not going anywhere. Like Zoe's report, that the teammates are laughing at the rest of us right now for talking about this.
Wasn't a report. He wasn't going to talk about it. Want to break news.
617-779-0985. Nick in Middleborough. Go ahead.
How you doing today, guys?
Hey, Nicky.
So, you know, I think it's safe to say at this point that, you know, we've all known Bill to be a little bit of a dictator. And
hard ass.
That's all been said and done, even without it being said by players. You know, but now I think the final straw for everybody was the Super Bowl. You know, our philosophy's always been, do what you got to do to win.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't think the players feel that Bill did that. You know, it's,
but is that a good enough reason to retire for anybody?
No, you know what?
No. It's good. Is that a reason
honestly,
to create
I,
drama?
Honestly, I think all this stuff is going to pan out. I think we're going to find out a bunch of this stuff is BS. But I think in the end, we're going to find that this is going to it's going to cause a lot of tension. I think times are changing. Whether or not everybody's around next year or not, I don't think it's going to be the same.
Josh McDaniel stayed. He had a head coaching job. He did not go.
Can the Patriots endure another offseason like this one? Can they go through this a year from now again?
No, I don't think
so. I don't think they can.
I don't think the coach can at what, 65 then? The quarterback at 40 going on 42? No.
Which is why I believe sometime between now and, let's say, in the next year, something's got to give.
Feels like this is it.
It feels like this is it. Something's got to give. They can't keep doing it this way.
Who sang that song? New Edition? Is this the end?
He probably wants like a 3-year contract. That's
who?
What gives.
Who?
Brady.
Well, he's got
Give him a 3-year deal.
Hold on.
That's it.
So he's got 2 years left.
Takes him to 45.
Rip up these two. You have to because of the number, right? The cap number is 22 and change. Real money, it's like 15. 15 or 16.
14.
So you rip up the final 2 years and give him a new 3-year deal. Three-year extension on top of this. That takes him to his 44.
That's 45 right there. Boom.
There you go.
Done.
No way. Two max.
You don't want to deal with the year-to-year stuff. Give him a 3-year deal.
Two max. Two max and bring back.
No, I'm not even talking about the money, though, Jim. I'm just saying, can they deal with this relationship problem between the coach and the quarterback? And they want to do all this again? Everybody involved? The tight end?
You give him 3 years, $75 million. Just going to shut up.
I don't think he's about the money for him.
Who? Tight end?
No.
Oh.
No.
I think it is about the tight end.
The quarterback's not about the money. He's got plenty of money. He's got more money than he'll ever be able to spend in his life. I don't think it's about money. Not in his case. It is for the tight end.
Do you think there's any point where Belichick's sitting back in his chair? And it might not be saying it to Robert or saying it to somebody else. Damn, I had this sucker nailed.
Had it.
I told you. Called it.
Called it. As he's eating a chip.
Called it.
Saw the storm coming.
That's what it was.
Saw the storm coming. I love breaking news!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's fair to wonder anytime anybody's in his 40s if that particular player is coming back for the coming season. Again, we want to say, expected to return.
Sure.
But nothing official, no final word, and there is some questions and concern in some people's minds as to what he's doing and what he's thinking right now. And as long as that question and concern exists, and the only person that could dispel it is Tom Brady.
Sure.
And the only way he could dispel it is saying, hey, there's nothing to talk about. We'll be back in 2018. But we've not heard that from him as of this time. Now, maybe today he comes out and says, I'll be back. But my understanding is that won't be the case, that he's sifting through some things. Again, the sense is people think he will be back, but no official word, no official commitment.
I must say, that appearance by Adam Schefter on the 8 a.m. Sports Center today got a little convoluted there in the middle.
But no official word?
It's not like Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes now?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Johnny Gomes?
No official word? No official commitment?
Those questions are answers.
I never knew that players had to indicate to the team starting the offseason program that I will be returning. You have an exit.
They don't, but when someone reports that, it's an indication that they need to give a commitment because they're on the fence about something.
I guess.
You're right. No, you're right. Yeah, I mean, that's not normal.
Because I'm rereading the Florio stuff here, and it's written like this is something new that, since he won't. The tone of the article, the way it's written in Pro Football Talk, is that he's probably not participating in OTAs, but he's going to get sharp before camp starts because at the end of OTAs, he's made arrangements with guys. He's done this all the time. Whether he trained out west, those guys will go out west. You know, in California. Meet him wherever they want to meet him. He can do it in his backyard. His backyard's big enough.
Let's go into the phones. Mark in California. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I just had a point about why I think Brady's not going to retire and that he's not going to end his legacy on a Super Bowl loss. That was Belichick's fault.
It's a simple point, but I like it. He's not a guy who's going to walk away after losing. That goes against everything we've ever learned about this guy. He's the ultimate competitor. Never wants to give up. Always wants to fight. Wants to give up his life. As he told us in episode one, Tom versus Time. Because he's so driven and wants it so badly. If he walks away after a loss, just that on the surface. Take all the other crap out of it. That's not who he is. It's not who he is.
No, it's not. It's not. I just think the relationship with the owner, I don't think he'd leave the owner hanging dry. Him walking away, just checking out would, I don't want to say would send it in a, you know, a downspin or whatever, flush it. It would be the beginning of the end. Because you'd be fighting to be a playoff team without him.
Larry in Plymouth up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Lair.
How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
What's up?
I have similar points, although not exactly the last caller and a couple others supporting the fact that Brady would never walk away, but furthermore, walk away without telling anyone or preparing them for it or, in effect, screwing them. I think Bill and Brady, their relationship is much like a drill instructor and a Marine Corps recruit, and I'm a 60-year-old Marine, so I know about that a little bit. And what I would tell you is that he respects the hell out of Bill, and he may not always agree with his coaching and his decisions and all, but Bill's preparing him for war, basically. And when you graduate boot camp, what you learn is that all the things your drill instructor had you do that you didn't want to do would prepare you to survive and to ultimately to win. And so, you know, that's the only tiff Brady might have with Bill is the TB12 thing. And I think even the Tom versus Time thing, we're all kind of forgetting. We said that was more about him promoting the TB12 brand than it was anything to do with his relationship on the field with or off the field with Bill and the organization. And now I'll close with this. Brady's a man of integrity, plain and simple. He puts family first, his own health second, and then football third because he knows he can't play football without good health. But he is a true patriot. To the very end, he's loyal to that team, to Kraft, to New England, and ultimately even to Belichick. He is not going to leave them hanging, ever. With or without Jimmy G in the picture or the next quarterback they drive, he will not walk away and leave. He's not going to screw the team in any way. He gets revenge on enemies, and none of these people that I just mentioned are entities are enemies.
Okay, so for that reason, he's not walking away. I don't think he ultimately has great loyalty to the head coach. I don't. Might have some loyalty to the owner. I don't think he has it to the head coach.
Sure he does to the owner.
Most players don't. I mean, what player has loyalty to their head coach?
It's hard to separate.
In that league.
See, there's a love-hate with Parcells. It's like you know that there are times where it's just miserable, but at the end, and you hear all the guys talk about it, like that 30 for 30, you know, with the two Bills. They knew they became better players because of those guys. Steve Sufi Amendola said
it's not really a league that works on loyalty.
Yeah, it's not. But
it's not really what it's about.
When you've been as successful and demanding and you put as much into it as Bill and Tom have, it's hard not to sit there and say neither one of these guys don't really have any loyalty or respect for each other. It's hard not to. You have to. Because ultimately they have the same common goal. And that's to get back and win number six. Maybe that's how they fix all this. Win number six and walk away. Should have six.
Dennis is in Whitman today. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy Wednesday.
Hey.
I got two quick points, and I'll hang up and listen. My first point is for Beadle. I'm glad you brought up the Brian Hoyer cell phone cases, because I'll tell you right now, if Tom Brady walks away at this point, I'm going to buy a Brian Hoyer cell phone case, a jersey, a T-shirt, a hat, and I'm going to be the biggest Brian Hoyer fan New England's ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Now, no, I'm probably not going to do that, but my second point is on Shohei Ohtani, and I'm with Hardy on this.
Oh.
I don't think you can really judge this guy off of one bad outing. But I will say, I lived in Japan for a couple of years, and the way that the Japanese people love baseball fills my American heart with joy. They just love it. So I want to root for this guy. But if he's going to come out and pitch the way he pitched against the Red Sox last night against other ace lineups, he's not going to last in this league. And he's closer to the Japanese David Price than the Japanese.
Ooh, that's a bad thing. What's worse, Japanese version of David Price or David Price? Think about that.
Well, the Japanese version of David Price can also hit. So, right.
So it's a double whammy.
David Price is also a bad analogy because David Price, once upon a time, was an ace who was winning Cy Youngs.
Remember those days?
And last night against a pretty good lineup in Anaheim.
Won the Yankees.
Allowed just one run in five innings.
Yeah, he wasn't bad last night.
He wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad.
But he didn't have his best stuff.
He wasn't electric.
Didn't have his best stuff.
I'll say this, though.
Had a nice run.
Japan
nice
loves
lead.
Baseball. Love that about Japan.
Remember when Manny hit that home run? Remember when Manny hit that home run? What dome was that in? Place went nuts.
Tokyo Dome.
Oh!
I got a question for them, though.
For Japan?
Yeah, for Japan.
It's going to be tough for them to answer, but go ahead.
Why don't you just use the same baseballs that are used in the States and in the major leagues?
What's the difference between the two?
Well, maybe we need to go to an expert on the matter.
We need somebody who's played in both countries.
Japan and the United States.
Well, if you think you think about America and you think red, white, and blue, there's only one guy that comes to
mind. Who's a great American.
Yep.
And also someone who has played professional baseball in Japan, and that would narrow the field down to one guy. There's only one guy on the planet, Johnny Gomes, who explained or tried to explain the difference in the baseballs. Last night, we'll get to that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Now, Ryan Donato in the practice lines for the Bruins today. Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak still in the top line. Second line, Jake DeBrusk, David Krejci, Rick Nash, and then that third line is Danton Heinen, Riley Nash, and David Backes as they get ready for Game 4 tomorrow night in Toronto, Maple Leafs. Game 5, it's been announced, will take place Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the TD Garden. Meanwhile, fourth line at practice today, it's Tim Schaller, Sean Corrali, and Noel Achari. For the Celtics, they got 30 points out of Jaylen Brown last night to beat the Bucks 120-106, Game 2 of their best of 7 at the TD Garden. Game 3 in Milwaukee on Friday night, tip-off 9:30 Boston time. Shohei Ohtani gave up a leadoff home run to Mookie Betts last night. He went on to hit two more. The Red Sox 10-1 win over the Angels in Anaheim. Rick Porcello gets the start for the middle game of the set tonight. Also, a little more news back on the Maple Leaf side. Leo Komarov officially ruled out for Game 4 tomorrow night. Headlines are brought to you by Stone & Bank. If you need a bank, make it Stone & Bank. Expect more, get more, do more. That's the Stone & Bank way. Learn more now at stoneandbank.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ohtani came out. Now, one of the things that Johnny was talking about before the game was the difference in the baseballs between Japanese baseball and the major leagues here in the United States.
And it's one thing that I don't know if has had enough coverage, but for me, from going over there, it is a big difference. The size of the ball, the seams, and most importantly, the tackiness of the mud we use versus the mud that they use over here. Brought this guy back.
All the way from Japan.
All the way from Japan. This is a official Japanese-style ball right here that they use. And this is ours over here on the left.
Johnny Gomes doesn't believe this has received enough coverage. The Japanese baseball and the American baseball. The tackiness.
The seams.
The seams.
The mud. What a pud.
So he had a measuring tape. The kind of measuring tape you see when you go to a seamstress You get fitted for a suit and they measure your shoulders.
The yellow tape.
Yeah, the soft one, the flexible measuring device.
Yeah, it's not hard. Not hard.
That's what he's got in his hand, and he's trying to wrap it around the baseball to get proper measurements. More from Johnny Gomes on Nessun. Get to more from him, because this was priceless last night, trying to measure up the baseball.
Nice suit, by the way. Really nice suit. Nice Tommy Gun suit.
And this is ours over here on the left. Obviously, you can't see the difference, but it's pretty easy to tell the difference, and I'll let you feel them. And
hang on. Did you just hear that? You probably can't see the difference, it's really easy to see the difference.
So how long was this game last night, 4 hours plus?
It was about 4 hours.
Could you imagine being Dave O'Brien and you have to talk to somebody?
They waited until it was 8-1 for this, though.
But this went on, Jim, when I early in the game when I was watching. He was emphasizing wrong parts of the words.
When did Johnny Gomes play in Japan?
I don't know.
After he was done here, after the Kansas City Royals stint.
Yeah.
Okay. Because just a little bit of research here, I found that up until like 2013 or 14, they didn't even use a standardized ball in Japanese leagues. It's like whatever ball that you had.
Depending on whatever ballpark you were in, like ground rules, you get this a different baseball.
From a column on Masahiro Tanaka in 2014, okay? For years, they didn't have a standardized ball. It wasn't until even recently that Japan decided on using a standardized ball made by Mizuno that would be more similar to the American ball. Before that time, many teams in Japan would use their own special ball provided by different sponsoring companies. One team's ball could be completely different from another in terms of size and weight.
And this is my question for all of Japan today, Hardy.
So, and again, going to be tough for them to answer, but ask it anyway.
I'm asking the entire country, the baseball community of Japan. We've had a standardized baseball in Major League Baseball for a long time.
No.
Why are you not using that ball?
Because they're not Major League Baseball.
I know they're not, but
the CFL uses a different football than the NFL.
Yep.
And the CFL is a joke. No one watches the CFL. A couple Canadians, They're like,
hey,
what?
Football,
what, like six guys in Winnipeg are watching the CFL?
I love
Who
the
gives
Jets.
A crap? Japan, I mean,
why? Why isn't there a standardized ballpark? I mean, other than the distances from pitcher's mound to home plate and from first to second. I mean, all right, so it's part of the...
Are their bats different?
No, I'm just saying that in baseball is a little different from other sports. There can be variations from place to place, game to game,
Frisbees
country
are
to country.
Frisbees are different.
No, they are not.
Okay,
175
the problem
gram ultimate
is,
sport
Hardy,
disc.
That Japan wants to compete on a world stage in the World Baseball Classic, which uses the Major League Baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
Players who play in Japan want to make the transition at some point to Major League Baseball. Where's the downside in them using the same baseball as the rest of the world?
What's Dominican juice? Like, there's a lot of Dominican players in the league. Is the baseball that they grew up with, is that totally different?
In a lot of places, they're so poor they don't have baseball.
I understand that. I'm not talking about
the
poor.
But in the Dominican camps,
yeah,
they're all sponsored by Major League Baseball.
Bingo.
They're using Rawlings baseballs.
Bingo.
I just don't get it.
I don't either.
What's the advantage to using the smaller baseball?
The Mizuno?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's listen to Johnny talk about it. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Why learn a lot? So
it's
ahead.
Pretty easy to tell the difference, and I'll let you feel them, and you'll be able, without even looking at the labels, and you can tell.
It is amazing how much tackier the Japanese baseball is than the Major League Baseball, which is far slicker. That's number one. Yep.
Yeah. And then, obviously, with the size, what I did here is to show our viewers, is I brought this little tape measure right here, and to wrap it around...
Whoa!
You can actually see the difference in the circumference of the Japanese ball versus
line shot. Upton backing up.
Dave O'Brien hates him.
And he retired.
Small problem. Small problem there. When he wrapped the measuring tape around each one, they both came out to 9 3/8.
It's universal. That didn't work out. Rabbit.
And it's probably because it's inexact. He's not.
You gotta put something together.
It's an inexact thing to be wrapping around the seamstress's tape around the baseball. Did he wrap it tightly around one ball and not the other? I mean, it was a bad demonstration, Hardy. It didn't go well.
Hardy, was that from?
Starting with the
Space.
It's easy to see. You probably can't see it at home.
But he took it further. He did a live demo. They had the two still shots, and then he did a live demonstration after. Because the guy that did the first measurements, he said, went over the seams.
Mm.
So he wanted to do it live without going over the seams. He did it from the inside.
I'm sure it was Emmy-worthy.
Yeah, so what I went ahead and did is I got a tape measurement right here from my man Scott downstairs who sells the suits.
Listen to him talk normal.
What we can do is we can go ahead and we can put it right here.
That's normal.
We can measure from seam.
Seam.
Get this guy
he can't up, think and talk at the same time. That's the problem.
Seam without covering the seams. I'm obviously going all leather right here without going over. And this one is going to be running at about 7.5.
Martinez with a swing and a miss. He's got one for two of the base hit.
And that's about 7.5. And again, without getting annihilated.
JD
whoever,
Martinez, I'll get you excited.
100% accurate. And then this one right here is going to go to about 7.75. So when you're talking about a ball that's not that big in circumference, and you're getting a quarter of an inch larger, that's obviously different from what he's accustomed to.
So it's a slicker baseball, it's a larger baseball that he's throwing now than he ever threw in Japan. Do you think that leads to a blister?
I mean, you can't argue against it. I mean, that might be the first thing that you want to go to.
Sure, I can. He had blisters in 2016 when he was playing in Japan, Johnny.
Do you hear him talk when he talks in a conversation? It's so quick. It's on.
I don't think it's
you might want to blame it. I don't know. You can, yeah, if you want. Unless we have to start measuring.
You know what could have been just fine there? They use a smaller, tackier baseball in Japan. I wonder if that impacts the blisters.
You get less blisters without the old.
There you go. I'll take your word for it, Johnny. They use a smaller, tackier baseball.
I'll tell you what,
we've heard that before. I'll take your word for it.
Outside of Remy, he's your number two analyst.
Oh, brutal.
Sorry.
No, Eck.
Eck's number one. Yeah, outside of
Eck and Remy are the two best.
Yeah.
Everything after that is hot garbage in that.
I'll take him over
hot,
Steve Lyons.
Stinky, middle of summer garbage on the side of the road.
Who's the guy they used
DiNardo.
In Seattle?
Lenny DiNardo.
Lenny DiNardo.
They used. Oh.
Nice guy. Really nice
I'll give
guy.
Gomes this, though.
Todd loves Timlin.
I'll give Gomes this. Oh, Mike Timlin.
Who?
Brutal.
Oh,
I'll give
no
Gomes this.
Off.
He's trying. You can tell he's worked at it. He's trying to be better at it.
He brought props.
And,
he's like carrot
top.
You know,
here's what else he doesn't do. He doesn't go silent. At least he talks.
He'll talk.
I'll give him credit for that. Yeah. I do give him some credit, but it's, whew, sometimes you're just like, whoa, what are we doing here? Today's takeaways are next. Those takeaways will include Scott Zolak's first comments to head coach Brad Stevens today. Scott Zolak giving us his method on how to determine who a villain is in sports. It involves going to heaven.
And there's a Giselle Yoko Ono tie-in.
Mm. Oh, boy.
We'll get to that.
Mashup. On the way.
Come back here, you rat. Nighty night.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time now for the Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway of the Day. Take away your excess weight for life. Check it out, awaken180weightloss.com. So somebody brought up Yoko Ono and John Lennon today. And you had the little mashup song that Jim put together of Hardy's, one of Hardy's favorite people in the world, Giselle, showing her musical gifts and comparing that to that of Yoko Ono. And there may be a tie in here, folks. Folks. Hey.
Oh, Dick. Damn you. Jim.
What the hell is this?
It's Yoko.
Is it Yoko or is it Giselle?
We need a Yoko Giselle mashup.
Jim, hold on. Jim, give me her when they're at that pool at the village looking over the ocean and South America. She has a ukulele. Tom posted this video, I think, on his Instagram.
Is it a ukulele or is it a guitar?
I don't know. I think, Jim, you have that one?
It's a stringed instrument.
Well, we're going to compare the two. So that's Yoko Ono right there.
It's heavenly.
God, that was annoying.
So if you die,
whoever
you go up
bought
to heaven,
her stuff.
There's two different pearly gates you can go in.
Yeah, left or right.
One of them's playing a ukulele.
It's called a fork in the road, bro.
The other one is going to smash you in the newts with a ball-peen hammer. Which one do you go in?
I get myself hot in the nuts if it's going to sound
instead,
like that.
Instead of a ukulele
for the
show?
The rest of eternity?
Yeah.
The timing was perfect. He nailed that.
Yoko,
and now
Giselle.
Now we play Rick James.
Oh, right. God. Hey.
Oh, we never get this far in the song.
Right. Yeah, we never do.
All right. All right. Time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Waking.
No, we already did that. All right.
We did that.
So my takeaway today, you got to give credit where it's due. Normally, the beginning of the Brad Stevens weekly phone-in is an absolute train wreck due to Scott Zolak's first comments. Generally, they're about football.
No, I get excited talking to the coach.
We're another sport.
Man, let's play some grab ass.
Last week, it was just a couple of guttural monosyllabic utterances.
Go! Party!
Shut up, party.
But today, you held back. You didn't say a word. And when you did talk, you asked an actual basketball question.
Brad Stevens, head coach, joining us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good.
Feeling good? Up 2-0?
That was it.
That was a dumb question.
Nothing from Zoe?
Yeah, I was waiting. He wouldn't say a word.
That was hard pulling back.
Beetle and Brad started talking a little bit. When Zoe finally did speak, this is what he said.
Coach, watch a lot of the pregame. And there was a couple little segments done on Terry Rozier, and this has been going on for a while now since he started to play more and more, and obviously, you know, with the guys out the gym. But he talked about confidence, and Abby asked him, what's different with you? He said, my confidence. And he said, Brad Stevens is directly responsible for that because he's talked to me, he's drawn up stuff, and he's continued to go with me. When did this start? Is this something you work on the side with Terry, or this sort of happened organically?
Really disappointing. It wasn't until
It
wasn't until the second time Zoe spoke and he said he started saying football instead of basketball until he screwed up. But even I couldn't.
What are you talking about?
You started to say football.
I didn't.
Yes, in your second question, you started to say, you know, when you're passing the basketball around, but we're not
here
to
do that.
Turn
over the basketball.
Right, turn over the
Okay.
Turn
over the. Well, you're playing on those Hoyer cuts, those picks today. Like, if he's your starting quarterback, what do you want me to think?
Nothing. I'm giving you credit.
Nothing at all.
Okay, we did 4 hours of football and bang, we did Brad Stevens in the middle.
Were very good.
And out of the gate today in talking about
that
the possibility.
Clean. That was a clean interview.
The possibility of Tom Brady retiring, we asked the question as to if it were to happen, which I don't believe it will. It's not happening. Who would be the villain? And Scott gave us really a roadmap as to how to figure out who it is that would be the villain. And I think that everyone should take this to heart.
Always like to term it this way. And you're a collector, as I collect also, meaning collect memorabilia.
Oh God, I don't know where
You go up to heaven to that great you go up to that great collector castle in the sky, and there's
heaven?
The gate.
There's
the pearly gate.
Castle in heaven?
And they give you a ticket. Because when you go to a collection show, you have to buy a ticket for the autograph.
Yeah.
And you're holding that one golden ticket. And you get up to those gates and they said, well, there's a gate on the left and there's a gate on the right. You only have one ticket.
Right.
That ticket gets you in one of the gates.
Okay.
To go meet one of the guys behind that gate, shake their hand, embrace them, take a picture with them, and get them to sign something.
Okay.
That gate over there to the left has Tom Brady behind it. That gate over there to the right has Bill Belichick behind it. Which gate you picking? Because the gate that you don't pick, the other guy's the villain. It's the way I do it, man. It's that simple. Jim, we've been doing this for a long time. I used this with the Ortiz A-Rod comparison back in the day.
So to Beatles' question, if Brady doesn't end up playing who's the villain, Zoe's simple answer is, let's say you die. And instead of heaven being some idyllic place,
well, one guy's gone,
it's a collector show.
Jesus Christ,
actually, there's two collector shows with only one person appearing and signing. You get admitted to one.
Beetle
knows. That you don't go into, there's your villain.
Yep. Beetle knows. He was in line last week waiting to see Irving Fryer.
I didn't wait in line.
Did your ticket include an embrace, too?
An embrace? We did get embrace.
Because if you're going all the way up there, you want more than a sign.
In collector determining a villain heaven that Zoe simplified for us today and created, you get a hug and a picture. And you have to.
Sounds like a pretty good
you
thing.
Have you have to die clutching the item you want autographed in your hands. And that way it makes the trip with you upward. So if you think you're about to go teats up, grab that rookie card and hold it up against.
What do you think the Jesus rookie card?
You know how they say, you can't take it with you? Apparently, for some items, you can.
A mini football, a mini helmet.
Jesus, and you had all the disciples.
You can take one mini helmet with you.
All the disciples except one. Yeah? Like the best card would be Lazarus. He came back twice.
Oh, we got Billy Chaffee with us tomorrow on a Bruins game day. We're looking forward to that. Felger Mazur next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. So try and put the breaking news first tomorrow, okay? Top of the show.
Can only say stuff as it happens. I thought we were going to come in today and have Zobertime. Cameras are gone and I do this,
Oh,
how about that? That's what I'm getting to.
What was that?
I don't even know.
What was that?
The yo-yo.